Imagine portraying a rock legend on stage, and imagine that you get it so right that it's almost eerie. That is the experience blues singer Mary Bridget Davies has had. She stars in the musical One Night with Janis Joplin, which is opening tomorrow evening at the Pasadena Playhouse. Not only does Mary Bridget say that Janis has influenced her for her whole life, she's actually toured with Janis's old band, Big Brother and the Holding Company. She has portrayed her in two shows, the national tour of the musical Love Janis and this one, One Night with Janis Joplin. But perhaps the best of all the hit reviews she's had are from Janis Joplin's younger brother and sister. Michael Joplin has actually said that he's seen you portray Janis on stage and it almost freaks him out because you've got her mannerisms down. How'd that happen for you?
Well, my parents got me, like I said, well, and this is something I always like to joke, I dressed up as her for Halloween in, like, seventh grade. And, I mean, we're all 80s kids, right? So all my friends were like, who are you, Elton John? And I was like, no, I'm Janis Joplin. And they were like, who's that? I'm like, shame on you for not knowing. But, you know, they didn't grow up in a rock and roll household. They grew up normal, you know. And so I got this documentary video from my parents, a VHS tape. I think it was called Janis the Way She Was. And it's interviews and concert footage and stuff like that. And it's a lot of the performances, I think three of them, are from Festival Express, and it was before they released Festival Express. And I would just watch them like, you know, like my favorite movie, and I would just sit there and kind of parrot her. You know, I'd be sitting and like, you know, she does certain things with her hands or her eyebrows or when she's talking, even, you know, like, I think it's more important because it just kind of naturally comes to me, like her mannerisms when I'm singing, you know, and well, now that I've been doing it so long, it's kind of second nature. But yeah, I just watched her and she was just so fascinating to me that I just wanted to mimic it. So I joke, like I kind of was, you know, rehearsing for this role a long time before I knew it was even coming. You know, I had that advantage, which is very cool. But yeah, I still watch it from time to time, and it's great. And a lot of the lines in the play are, you know, from it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally knew this. I had half the script memorized before I even, you know, walked in the room.
Something you knew and you're not knowing here.
Exactly.
What do you find that audience members in their 20s or maybe even 30s say about Janis Joplin after seeing your performance?
They're like, wow, that, I'm going to go listen to all her music now, like, because they will stay after. A lot of people, and of course, baby boomers, stay after, and they're like, I saw Janis in, you know, Lansing, Michigan at a roller rink in 1965, you know, like, and it's so cool to hear those stories. And but when it's someone who'd never seen her or didn't know anything about her, like, at this point, their grandparents took them to see the play, you know, they're like, we had to know, like, it's funny, we did a show for high school kids. Did a matinee for high school kids. And you know, I swear in the show, whatever. Janis swore. And the first time I, like, threw out an F-bomb, you know, a bunch of giggles ripped through the crowd. And then they were with me. Because, you know, sometimes it takes, you know, certain things to get people to, like, come along. Like, true Janis purists, I don't think, are with us really until we do Summertime and Peace in My Heart. You know, it's like I have to pass muster for them. You know, I have to pass the test. And then they're with us, you know, but 20-year-olds are like, I had no idea that you could, or this one girl said, it's just such a shame that she died because she had so much more to give. And I'm like, whoa, you could see that just from the show, you know, so it is enlightening to other people, and it's nice to turn it on to younger people, because really, at my age, I'm not supposed to know it by default. You know, it wasn't on the radio when I was growing up. You know, I just had that, like I said, that really awesome record collection of my parents to go off of. But they're digging it, and a couple girls in the high school thing, they wrote blogs about it, and they went and bought, you know, the book Love Janis and stuff, so it's cool.
What do you consider is one of the most important lessons that you've learned from Janis about your own craft as a musician, songwriter, and a storyteller with a new CD?
I would have to say I'm naturally goofy. Like, that's just my personality. And so was she, the more that I got to know her. And by no means does that mean we're not serious, you know, and I just, her whole truth message, you know, every little blurb you ever hear about Janis, you know, don't compromise yourself, you're all you've got, you know, and things like that. And it's like, she just, no matter how awkward it looked or sounded or what it made sense to you. If it made sense to you, great. If it didn't, that's fine. Because, you know, I'm bringing you a message. Like, that was important to her, and it was important to me, too, because you don't want a whole record of songs about guy hurts girl, girl is sad. You know, and she went, you know, she got, we all start that way because we all start writing usually from a place of, you know, pain or whatever. You're a teenager writing poems and then they turn into songs. But she just had this truth and like an urgency when she performed. Like, you need to listen to this right now. Like, you know, like in some of the rants in between music breaks, you know, and stuff in different songs, you know, and she says, you know, if you got it today, you don't wear it tomorrow, man. You know, talking about how, you know, we're going to do it now. And you better hold on to it and you better, you know, love that man like it's the last day of your life. You know, things like that. She's very sincere and very serious. And then you'd get her, that's in like songwriting mode. And then she'd do a song and she'd be, you know, crazy into it. And then she goes sit down on Dick Cavett's couch and the first thing they're doing is laughing and making jokes. You know, and so it was like, she let me know that it's okay to do it all, to just be yourself and be honest. And those who like you, they'll like you no matter what. And those who don't, who care? You know, it doesn't matter. And when writing songs, you know, sometimes I've never sat there and been like, well, you know, what would Janis do? but she's definitely, you know, popped into my mind. Or I'll start writing something and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard that song before. You know, because it's like, you know, some, you know, C version of a song she already wrote. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. Oh, like, actually, I was just listening to a Stax record, and it was, like, a best of, and it was this group called the Mad Lads, and they did Crybaby as, like, a soul song, like, with, like, all the backup singers, you know, like, it's like a Temptations kind of thing. And it was incredible. And I know she didn't write that song, but her interpretations were just, you know, she loved blues and soul music so much, but she could take it and make it her own. And I learned how to do that from her.
Mary Bridget, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. That was fun.